Our text for this evening is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 28. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Dear Christian friends, during our midweek Lenten worship, we've been noticing various sets of friends in the Passion story and comparing them to our truest friend, Jesus. Last week we thought about compassionate friends, taking note that sometimes there is not much you can do besides just being there with a friend who is suffering. But sometimes there is much that you can do, and it's good to have a friend who not only talks and listens, but knows how to serve. For example, when friends bring food to a family who's had a death in the family, or maybe a family member in the hospital, sometimes the best serving, like the best comfort, comes from those who have experienced a similar thing themselves. These are the kind who bring paper products. I mean, seriously, who knew that in family emergencies you go through so many tissues and paper towels and toilet paper and cups and plates as everybody's coming and going? Jesus is a friend who is ready and able to serve and knows just what we need the most, and it's not hot dishes and handy wipes, it's the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation that come only through his body and blood that are given for us. As we look at our text, we think about how a friend is ready to serve, and we need a friend's service, and how Jesus serves us the banquet of salvation. Let's think first about how a friend is ready to serve. Now, the friend that I'm thinking of in the story of the Last Supper may not have even been in the room at the time, but it was his room. The Gospel of Mark tells us that when it was time to celebrate the Passover meal, Jesus told his disciples to go into Jerusalem, and as they entered Jerusalem, they were going to meet a man carrying a jar of water, and they were to follow him to the house that he goes to, and that is where they would eat Passover. How did Jesus know it was going to happen this way? Well, for one thing, it was pretty rare for a man to carry a jar of water. That was women's work in those days. But here's a man who was ready to serve. He did not say, "Carrying water is not my job." It needed to be done, and so he did it. He was not like the disciples were later on that evening, who all knew that they had 30 feet, but also knew that it was the job of the lowliest servant to wash the feet. And so all of them sat there on their hands and did nothing. I think that Jesus knew this particular man whose house they were meeting in because they were a friend of his. And I think that Jesus knew that not only did he carry his own water, but that he had offered for Jesus to use his own house when he was in town. Not only that, we're told that when the disciples got there to the house, he showed them a large upper room, and it was already furnished and ready. Now that's service. Jesus also was ready to serve when the time came. He knew why he had come into the world. He knew that now his hour had come for him to carry water for us, so to speak. That is, to do something that is rightfully our job. That is, to obey perfectly and to suffer and to be humble. To do it for us, so that when the time comes for us, there is a friend who has a room all furnished and ready for us in the mansions of heaven. We need a friend's service. I remember when my family first moved to Mankato, and we had only a few hours between when the family who had lived in our house before moved out and when the truck arrived with our stuff to move in. I remember the good friends from Good Shepherd who came and pitched in and helped us to clean. We needed that help in cleaning. Jesus saw that his disciples needed help in being clean. They were about to eat a banquet, and this kind of banquet was eaten reclining, that is, with your feet up, and their feet were filthy. They were not ready to eat this kind of a meal. Jesus points out to the disciples that they were to do what now he was doing for them. And so, still today, some people respond to this by an annual foot washing ceremony on Maundy Thursday tonight. Now, that's an impressively humble thing to do, but I think it misses the point. Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Because they needed washing. That's what they needed. I don't think having your feet washed is what most people need today. It might be having your toenails trimmed. It might be having your diapers changed. It might be cleaning up a mess after an accident when somebody is sick. A good way for us, I think, to respond to this instruction, it may be to think about what needs to be done that a friend might not be able to do for themselves and might not even ask us to do for them because it's lowly and unpleasant to do. That's the kind of friend that people need. This is the kind of friend that Jesus is for us. We are not ready for the great banquet of heaven because we are still too dirty. And cleaning ourselves up is not something that we can do. It's less like washing our feet than like washing the middle of our back. First, it's hard for us to see our own sins, even when God's Word so clearly points them out to us. But the problem with the filth of sin is that it is in such an unreachable place. It's in our hearts. And cleansing our own hearts of sin is as difficult as doing our own heart surgery. We need a friend who can do it for us. And Jesus is that one who does it by serving the banquet of salvation. Matthew writes, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In this verse, Jesus points out the way that he will ultimately serve us, that is, by dying to pay for our sins. Jesus' greatest service in that upper room was not washing the feet before the meal, but it was the meal itself which he served by himself. When Jesus washes the disciples' feet, he comments that they may not understand now what he is doing. Then what he goes on to feed them is even harder to understand. First, that because they did not yet understand that he was actually going to suffer and die for them on the cross, even though he kept telling them that. Even after he died, they did not yet understand that he did this in our place to pay for us the debt of our sins, to give us forgiveness, until he explained that this was necessary after his resurrection. Another thing that was hard to understand would have been how, even before his death, he could already give them the body and blood that he was going to give on the cross later. Just as he also gives us, long afterward, the same body and blood. It is because he is true God as well as true man. He is not limited by time. And so just in the same way, the forgiveness and the freedom from sin that comes from his one death on the cross applies for all time to those all the way back to Adam and all the way forward to the end of time. It's also hard for us to understand how his body and blood can be joined with the bread and wine in such a way that all who eat and drink the bread and wine are also at the same time eating and drinking his body and blood and receiving that with their mouth also. But it's true, because it is Jesus himself who serves this food and who causes it to be true by his own words, which are just as true today as when he first spoke them. When he says, "Keep on doing this," he means keep on eating and drinking his body and blood. And that is a far more important instruction than washing feet, because this command is connected with a promise that it is for the forgiveness of our sins, which is also true because his word says so. Jesus is the only friend who can serve us in this way, preparing and feeding us the banquet of salvation, which cleanses us on the inside from sin and shame. And he continues to do this for us here and forever in heaven. In Jesus, we have a friend who is ready to serve, to do that lowly job which needs to be done. We need a friend's service because we need a washing that we can't do for ourselves. And so Jesus serves us the banquet of salvation by giving us himself as a ransom for sin and as a meal that sustains our life forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.